And Shoop Shoop song, it's In His Kiss. BBC Radio Guernsey, it is 21 minutes past 10. Now, in an increasingly digital world filled with distractions, how do parents and carers work on improving their children's literacy levels? Well, my next guest is one of the people behind a campaign asking us to turn our TV subtitles on, as research has shown that it can have a dramatic impact on reading ability in children. Well, please welcome co-founder Ollie Barrett. Good morning to you, Ollie.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you for having me.
Ollie, this idea, it almost seems too simple. Where did this idea first come from?
It's unbelievably simple, isn't it? And I remember discovering this through an amazing charity actually based in India called Planet Read. And they'd been researching this across the world for the last 10 years. And to give you a tiny example, they worked out that if you took two groups of children, particularly 6 years old to 10 years old, and one group had subtitles off and the other had subtitles on, the group with the subtitles on were twice as likely to become good readers as the group with the subtitles off. And I just thought, this is staggering. And the more we looked into it, the more we thought, this is like magic, actually. And that's what all the studies say. So we thought to ourselves, right, we can either keep this to ourselves, we can tell our friends, or we can really try and spread the word. And of course, you know the rest, we started to turn on the subtitles as a result.
I mean, what did children think of this idea? Because I can't imagine going home this evening and saying, right, after school, you can watch TV, but you've got to have the subtitles on. I mean, how's it received?
Yeah, well, it's a great point. And actually, our suggestion is that the broadcasters turn them on by default, because actually the truth is most children don't actually notice in the end. Funny enough, we wondered this very recently. We ran an experiment with one of our partners, GCSE Pod, with about 450,000 children in the UK. And do you know what? We turned on subtitles for half of those. And at the end of the experiment, if I can call it that, 98% of them still had them on at the end, even though they could have turned them off. So that says to me two things. Firstly, children don't mind. My seven-year-old actually complains if we turn them off now. But also, actually, the default setting matters as well. And that might sound a bit geeky, Claire, but actually, for these companies like the BBC and Netflix and YouTube, actually, those subtitles are available and they're very good quality for children's television, particularly to support the deaf and hard of hearing. So our thesis is, if you flick them on, then they can always be turned off, and that will make all the difference.
I have noticed that. I mean, sometimes the subtitles have ended up being turned on just by accident. You know, they've pressed the wrong button. Yeah. And then you're just like, well, why have you got the subtitles on? You know, and they haven't even really realised, to be honest. I mean, what in terms of statistics, what difference can it make to a child's reading level?
Well, let's just start on a negative note with the problem, which is that across the UK, for example, a third of children leave school not being what's known as proficient at reading, which is pretty damning when you think of how that might limit their life and career and so on. That number rises to over 40% in children from disadvantaged backgrounds. So I was staggered by that right here in the UK. I couldn't believe it. In terms of turning on the subtitles, all the evidence shows that the children read them. Their reading can improve. And that's why, with spokespeople like Seleni Henry, Stephen Fry, Sandy Toksvig, we've been spreading this word that by turning them on, you can literally double the chances of your child being a proficient reader.
You've got some big names involved in this project. I mean, that's great, isn't it? Tell us how you managed to come about, you know, really getting this promoted well.
Well, I guess it's been threefold, really. I mean, we went to the National Literacy Trust, who are the most respected literacy charity in the UK, asked them to review all the evidence alongside us and come on the journey with us and be our partner. So that was step one. Step two was starting to talk to the broadcasters about how they can promote this. So just this week, Sky and Viacom and Warner Media, in other words, SpongeBob SquarePants and Scooby-Doo, have put subtitles on 500 of their episodes. So we're getting somewhere. So that's exciting. So that was the sort of broadcastery tech company type of conversations. And then separately, we had conversations through government, because not really looking to change the law as such, but getting them on side. So the Prime Minister said he thought it was an excellent campaign in the House of Commons, which hopefully did no harm. And then finally, to be perfectly honest, Claire, we wrote to some of the people we admire most. Sandy Toksvig, of course, and Stephen Fry both have hosted QI, and we think turn on the subtitles is quite interesting, to say the least. And then just people that I've admired for decades, people like Seleni Henry, Rachel Riley, Philip Schofield, just to say, look, this is so simple. Would you record your message of support so we can spread the word? And companies like Twinkle and GCSE Pod, Pearson, who've got these huge audiences of schools and parents, have sort of come on board with us to say, look, this is simple. We can do this.
I mean, what has been the reaction from your own children? Did you say your son was 7? How
they reacted? My eldest is 7.
Okay, and how have they reacted to it?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, she would now complain if I turn them off. And, you know, the greatest thing any parent could want is not so much about their child being a good reader, but loving reading. And, you know, we're very lucky that that has been an outcome. I just noticed that, you know, for me, you know, huge fan of the great outdoors, huge believer in, yes, books, reading with your child. The crazy thing is that the average child in Britain watches TV for about 12 hours a week. And by the way, that research was before the pandemic. So our view is, look, there's nothing wrong with watching TV. And actually, we've got some amazing broadcasters, haven't we, in the UK, especially the BBC, providing these amazing programmes. So why not make it even better, if you like, for kids, if they're not going to mind, if they're not even going to notice? So I guess that's the philosophy.
And that, I mean, that's so interesting, isn't it? Because I know for sure that the amount of TV that my children watched throughout the pandemic, throughout the period when they were in lockdown and not attending school, it did increase. And some of that is because, you know, we're just trying to get on with work. And actually, had I known, they could have been learning at the same time. And it's great, isn't it? It's a win-win.
It's an incredibly simple. I mean, what do you make of it, Claire, as a parent? I can sense you're intrigued.
I find it really interesting because when I have the subtitles on, I find myself naturally drawn to reading them. And that's strange, isn't it? Because even though you have the sound on, if the subtitles so happen to be on, I'm reading them. And that's, you know, and so that must be the same for children. But I just wonder how they find their experience. I'm going to go home and give it a go and see whether they notice that difference to the experience, or whether, you know, do the words get in the way of the picture? Do they have that same watching experience, and will they find as much from it, or will they like, oh, come on, Mum, just turn them off?
Well, do you know what? I think it's such an interesting question, and I believe that, you know, that it is hugely accepted, and that they tend to stay on. And the people who have no trouble getting this at all are people who are lucky enough to speak more than one language. They say, look, let me stop you there. This is how I learned Danish or French or whatever it happens to be, because through subtitles they could follow along, right? And actually, you know, it has an effect whatever language you're learning, and at all ages, but it's particularly powerful for children in that 6 to 10 bracket. So it definitely is worth testing out.
And then, I mean, this is what I'm wondering. I mean, could I learn French? This sounds great. It sounds perfect.
I think it's everything to play for. Can I recommend Lupin on Netflix? By the way, I probably shouldn't recommend on BBC programs, but you know. On a serious note, it's one of those sort of well-kept secrets that we sort of want to spread the word. So you can actually find out more. And as I say, we're working with a charity on it, but at turnonthesubtitles.org. And there's everything you need, including the research, but including all of the support that we've been lucky enough to get.
And I think this is really interesting for perhaps young people who struggle to read and struggle to perhaps sit down with a book because, you know, that's just not where they're at. And so this is an opportunity for them to be able to, you know, read without kind of realising that they're reading, if that makes sense, I guess.
It is, and it is about enjoyment, isn't it? And, you know, that is what all of these broadcasters and tech companies are interested in. It's what we all want for our children to enjoy. You raise a point about subtitles sort of being, you know, stuck on, if you like. I think the most visionary, this is my prediction, Claire, it might be not for today's topic, but I think the most visionary program makers of the future, well, a little bit like we've seen in karaoke, strangely. You remember where the words light up or a ball might bounce over them? They actually start to more actively incorporate subtitles into the programme. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I mean, is your vision that this is just on all of the time for children's TV on across all of the platforms, and that you actually have to actively turn it off, and that is just the way it is?
Yeah, I personally would just flick a switch. It's incredibly simple for the broadcasters and tech companies to do. I would flick the switch, say that they're on by default, and if mum and dad or the kids want to turn them off, it's just a button away. Funny enough, my daughter used to sit on the remote control when she was six because she knew that somehow that turned them off, but she didn't know why. Anyway, that's too much information. But I do feel that that would be the simple change. And actually, if you think about it, if I get ambitious for a minute, if the BBC did that, if Sky did that, if Netflix and YouTube did that, this would secretly be, and by the way, we do not care who gets the credit for this, they should take all the credit. But that could be the biggest literacy project in the world, when you think about it, by stealth, if you like, a Trojan horse to get the kids reading.
Ollie, what's your background? Because I can assume that this has taken up quite a big chunk of your life doing this project and getting involved in this campaign.
Well, the love of my life is helping to start things. So without my co-founder, Henry Warren, and our amazing team member, Nina Hale, none of this would have happened. So I dropped out of uni. I started my first company in my 20s, and I actually started what went on to be the UK's largest schools enterprise challenge called Tenor, where we've given, goodness knows, 500,000 children £10 and a month to turn it into something. So I love starting things. So I have three passions: education, technology. So I'm lucky enough to host some very big tech events, and I'm a shareholder in a number of companies, including Calm.com, the meditation and mindfulness business. And then my third passion is connecting people and ideas. So when I spot an idea in one part of the world, I think to myself, I wonder who else could hear about this. And I guess a lot of creativity is joining dots, isn't it? So that's my background, and never ever started anything on my own. So I'm always looking for brilliant people to sort of join forces with. And Tots is a good example. Saw a brilliant idea, an amazing charity out of India, and then globally stumbled across some, well, stumbled, but revealed some amazing insights. And I thought, who can I tell this about to really make a difference? So I guess that's my love in life.
It just seems so simple, doesn't it? So I'm going to go home this evening. I've got a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old. I'm not sure what my 3-year-old will make of it all, but he'll just wonder why there's words on the telly. But I will go and give it a go and see. I suppose
Thank
for
you,
me,
Claire.
the curiosity for me is what their reaction is when I tell them about it. And I guess that the fruits of it is a long way down the line, isn't it? In terms of seeing the difference in their reading levels. But I'll give it a go and I shall see what happens and what reaction they say to it. I love
Well,
it.
I'd
It's a
love to know,
fantastic
and
idea.
I would say, Claire, you don't need to overcomplicate it. I just
Just turn them on.
have a go, and I see you're on Twitter as well. So our hashtag turn on the subtitles will lead you to lots of great organisations doing just that and spreading the word.
Fabulous. Ollie Barrett, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
Thanks, Claire.